7, Sunday night at 6, right here on KGYM. Four minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock, Thursday edition of the Gym Class coming your way. Sunshine abounding here in eastern Iowa. Wasn't that way earlier on. Wasn't that way over in Silvis, Illinois as well. We will explain coming up in just a moment. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Alex Kuhn, our producer, as we come your way in the Thursday edition of the show, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to talk with John Cranton from GymFi Sports in Las Vegas. Plenty to discuss. NFL Week 1, which gets underway tonight as far as the preseason is concerned, including the Chicago Bears. They are in action coming up tonight against John Fox's former team, the Denver Broncos. The world champions get back into it tonight. Cubs-Cardinals get underway tonight in the world of Major League Baseball. And we'll even talk about what Vegas thinks of the Olympics. We'll do that with John Cranton coming up in just a little bit. Our good friend of the show, Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, he has come out with his fearless predictions on the college football season, where teams are going to go, where they're going to end up. The four teams that he believes will be in the college football playoff. We'll go over that. We'll talk about that as well here on the program today. Sun's out, but it wasn't that way earlier on, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. No, it wasn't. In the first round of the John Deere Classic, interrupted by bad weather for a little over 2 hours. Play is scheduled to get back underway, in about 5 minutes. Before the rain hit the Quad Cities, Zach Johnson was on a roll through 12 holes. Zach was 5 under, tied for the lead with Ryan Moore. So Zach gets back out on the course. Also Patrick Rogers, but Zach Johnson off to a really good start at the John Deere.
Has not made a bogey as of yet. And so far, Zach's card started off in the back nine, started with 4 straight pars, including a par on the par 5 10th hole, and then came back with back-to-back birdies on 14 and 15. Birdied the par 5 17th hole. He made a birdie on 18, which is that's pretty good stuff right there. And then made a birdie on the par 5 second hole. Got through 3 and was on the 4th hole when the rains came earlier on. Of course, we witnessed those rains here in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa City corridor a little bit earlier on. I got to think that the people over in the Quad Cities were very frustrated because it wasn't a big electrical outburst, but there was just enough lightning in the air that you couldn't play golf.
That's true. That's usually what represents stoppage of play in golf. Former Iowa Hawkeyes in the field this week, Stephen Iam, got in 8 holes before the rain hit. He is +3. The delay is going to impact Brian Bullington, who was on the program yesterday. He was scheduled to tee off at 2:20 and probably will not get underway till nearly 5 o'clock, so he will not be able to complete his play, and thus tomorrow's tee times are impacted as well. Zach Johnson scheduled to go off about 1:30, so that'll probably be pushed back as well, I would guess.
I would think at least 90 minutes or so. They'll get a pretty good cut into the first round today, pretty good dent into it, but yeah, Brian Bullington probably is not going to go off until at least maybe 6:30, would think, right in there.
Originally 2:20, and there's a 2-hour rain delay, so I'm guessing more towards 5. But damn. Yeah, he won't get.
He's not going to get very many holes in.
No,
so he's going to have to go out early tomorrow morning. But that's part of it. You learn to adapt. You learn to live with it, and there you go. As far as that is concerned, Zach's playing very well. You mentioned Stephen Iam. He's 3 over. Brian Bullington has not started as of yet. So that's the John Deere Classic. We have the Olympics going on. The first round in Rio is underway. And the first thing I'll let you know about is not a real American outburst today down at the Olympic golf course.
No, it really wasn't. It was a poor day for United States golf. The USA, the only team with 4 competitors in the field, the best of the bunch today. Matt Kuchar was 2 under par. He was part of the morning wave, which benefited from the conditions because it got real windy in the afternoon. But to Patrick Reed, +172. Eh, okay. Bubba Watson, +273. Ricky Fowler, +475. And that is right now 12 strokes behind the leader, Marcus Frazier from Australia. I wouldn't expect Frazier to keep that up throughout the tournament, but nevertheless, a good start. One of the pre-tournament favorites, Henrik Stenson, in at 66. Again, play completed in the first round. Stenson tied with Graham Dillette of Canada. Several players at 67. Thomas Peters from Belgium. Gregory Bordy from France. Alex Chayka from Germany. Justin Rose from Great Britain. Rafael Cabrera Bayo from Spain. So there you have it. First round of the Rio Olympics golf. Justin Rose with a hole-in-one today.
First one in over 100 years, obviously.
I don't think anybody can confirm. You know, the last Olympics was 1904, was that right?
That they played golf in, yes.
I don't think anybody can confirm whether there's ever been a hole-in-one before now.
We weren't around,
no.
That's for sure. I really thought Ricky Fowler would do better. He's not had a great year on tour, though. I thought Patrick Reed would be better today. Bubba has not played very good golf since winning early in the 2016 season. He's kind of had a disappointing year so far. And really, Matt Kuchar has kind of been, he's been getting top 25s and cashing pretty good checks, making a pretty good living. But as far as being in contention, he hasn't really been in contention all year either.
In the 60-player field, Kuchar is tied for 11th. Patrick Reed tied for 34th. Bubba Watson tied for 42nd. And Ricky Fowler near the end of the field tied for 56. So all of them have work to do, including Kuchar, I would guess. So the good part of this is there's no cut, and there's three rounds left to go.
Biggest thing people were looking for today, critters on the golf course. Am I right on this?
There's some big ones.
There was a brown animal, a slightly furry creature that went out on the fairway once, and
it a sloth?
I don't think they did not call it a sloth. It began with a C, and I'd have to look it up. I can't remember what they called it. There was a name for this thing, but I would not want folks. You're not going in the rough looking for anything down in Rio. Am I right on this?
That's true.
Just forget about it and throw one down and let's play. Because, A, you got the mosquitoes, obviously. And it was interesting. I heard some of the media talking about that. You can actually tell the difference between the mosquitoes that are regular and the mosquitoes that carry the Zika virus. They are a slightly bigger and they're different colored than the regular mosquito. So they can tell, apparently. I don't know. I've never seen one, but if you're out there in the woods this weekend in eastern Iowa and you see one that's bigger and a different color, don't get away from it. Get away from
Speaking
it.
Speaking of critters, who's this critter in the studio here?
That's Michael. That's Michael sitting in with us today, a student at Iowa State University and doing some job shadowing today, learning how things work here at the old KGY.
Welcome, Michael. Linmar product, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And, his alma mater, by the way, won the first leg of the MVC Golf Super Meet today.
Michael didn't figure he'd be a segue today.
He did not.
No.
But he did. He got in the conversation. He is on record now for this, August 11th edition here of the show. Linmar did win the Super Meet today with a score of 307. They did play, no delays, up at the Meadows in Dubuque. Cedar Rapids Xavier finished up in second with a score of 313. Dubuque Wallert third at 319. Cedar Falls fourth at 320, and Dubuque Senior with a 323. And the medalist was Jack Recker of Linmar, who shot a 74 today. And then a couple of Dubuque golfers, one from Senior and one from Hempstead, both shot 75s. If you're wondering, Frank Lindwall was not available for the Washington team today, who is the, I would think everybody would agree, the top golfer going in, maybe in the state of Iowa.
Yeah.
And he is at a USGA event on the East Coast that he qualified for, so he is going to miss this particular round. Denny Gettle was telling me this earlier on. And I think this has got to be taken care of, but he, by virtue of missing today, he's not eligible for all conference. He's not eligible for any of the teams because he missed today's round.
Well, that just makes no sense.
That makes no sense to me. He's the best probably the best golfer there is out there, at least as far as on paper is concerned. Now, as you and I know, you don't play golf on paper. You play it on the golf course, and weird things can happen, including running into a four-foot sloth.
Well, trust Alex Kuhn, our producer, coming up with the answer to that animal that you saw on the golf course today. Can you pronounce it correctly,
Scott?
I don't
know. Kuhn, get in here. We need you to pronounce this thing. It is a brand. Begins with a C. Cape.
Don't.
I'm not going to do
don't
it.
Don't butcher it.
Okay. Alex is going to do it. Alex, how do you pronounce the name of this brown rodent? Do you know?
I think it's... Capybara, I believe. And it's they can grow up to 150 pounds, and they're considered the world's largest rodent. There are also, I think, crocodile-like animals on the course and boa constrictors. Mark and I talked about this when you were gone. There are a lot of crazy wild animals
some
on this
birds.
Golf course.
Birds, too, right?
Yeah, some owls.
Yeah, that will attack you.
Yes.
So you're not, no one is going into the deep woods in this place. There isn't a lot of deep rough at this golf course. That's the best part about it. But apparently there's a habitat for this brown rodent.
There is. And there are also wildlife handlers on hand employed by the Olympics in case a caiman gets too close to a golfer.
What is this, Wild Kingdom? You got... what was his name? Jim Perkins and...
No, Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins and Jim Fowler out there. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. Alex is our Rio rodent expert here on the gym class coming up at 16 minutes past the hour of 3. Of course, tonight, everybody will be tuning in for the women's all-around for women's gymnastics coming up as Biles and Allie Raisman will go up. Mano a mano, I guess, if you will.
It should be exciting, and Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte hook up in the pool as well. That rivalry has been going on quite some time, and they're going to renew it and perhaps put a cap on it tonight. So that should be very interesting. Major League Baseball action, several games in progress or final. Houston has defeated Minnesota 15-7.
Sorry we couldn't bring you that game last night, but it poured in Minneapolis.
It did, and the Twins were leading 5-0 when the game was called, so that was
off
all
of Dallas Keuchel.
Wiped off the books, and Houston winning the first game of a doubleheader. Second game tonight, Houston and Minnesota. Colorado up 6-5 on Texas, middle of the sixth. Milwaukee ahead of the Braves 6-2, also in the sixth. Middle of the third, Oakland and Baltimore scoreless. Arizona up 9 or have beaten the New York Mets 9-0. Also a final, Pittsburgh over San Diego 4-0. At Wrigley Field tonight, the first of a four-game set, the Cardinals and the Cubs go after it. That's a subject of our poll question today, KGYMRadio.com. Which team will win this weekend series at Wrigley Field? It's a four-gamer, Cubs, Cardinals, or they will split. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's.
Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com. Terrific pitching matchup tonight. Carlos Martinez, 10-7, ERA about 3.2 for the Cardinals, going up against John Lester, who's looking for his 13th win tonight for Chicago. Schedule lately, as far as difficulty faced, would favor the Cardinals. The Cubs have gone through the dregs of the American League West over the last week, and my gosh, Ricky Nolasco pitched the game of his life last night, still couldn't win.
Where has that been?
Yes, you were hoping he would pitch that well for the Minnesota Twins. Didn't even come close, and lo and behold, goes out to the West Coast for the Angels and actually pitched a decent game last night.
He really did, really did. Text line for you today, 319-366-1600. That's also our phone line. And Guppy's on the go text line. When you're on the go, we certainly want to know. Give us a text, 319-366-1600. As 3030 has done in regards to the large rodent.
Yeah.
Think large guinea pig.
Large guinea pig. Man, but guinea pigs are...
I guess they're all ugly.
No, guinea pigs are nice, cute little...
Are you serious?
Creatures. when I was
tell me you had a pet.
No, I did not. But I knew a lot of guys and their sisters or whatever in when I was in school that had guinea. I mean, that was the thing. Have a guinea pig. I don't know how even long they live or whatever the case may be, but I will go with that. That's a good analogy. Large guinea pig.
Was this part of show prep?
Large guinea pigs? No.
Michael, was this part of show prep?
It was not. It was not. This is a part of show prep, though. John Cranton, and we're going to talk with him coming up from Las Vegas. We'll do that next. Bevy of subjects to talk with him about, so stay tuned. More to come here on the program. Scott Unesh, Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn. It is the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Back with more coming up after this on KGYM.
Four.
Hey, golfers. Golf Headquarters, 1961 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast. Golf Headquarters has lost its lease. This is it. $1 million inventory. It must be sold. And all prices have again been reduced. 30% off all golf bags. Clothing up to 60% off. Shirts from $6.99. Golf Headquarters, 1961 Blairs Ferry Road. Store inventory blowout until it's all gone. Callaway, TaylorMade, Cobra, all at prices too low to advertise. All clubs must be sold. Golf Headquarters, $1 million emergency liquidation until everything is sold. Fixtures, cash registers, and all clubs, shoes, bags at blowout prices.
Golf Headquarters, 1961 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast, is closing this location soon. Get in here now. Prices reduced again. Prices too low to advertise. This store is closing, so the $1 million inventory reduction is on now. Everything must be sold. Hurry in for the best selection. Ping excluded. And new location announced soon. Golf Headquarters, 1961 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast. For now.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, bring you KISS. We are one nation, and you've got the freedom to rock. KISS. Freedom to Rock Tour. Friday, August 19th, 8 p.m., Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines. KISS. Plus the Dead Daisies. Friday, August 19th, 8 p.m., Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines. 4 decades of rock and roll history. KISS. $50, $60, and $85 reserve seat tickets are on sale now at all Ticketmaster outlets and at the Iowa State Fair Ticket Office. Convenience charges apply to all tickets. For more information, visit iowastatefair.org. KISS. For VIP tickets and info, visit kissonline.com. KISS. Freedom to rock.
Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
3:22, back with you here in the Thursday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. Thank you very much for making us part of your day today, taking us through the 3 o'clock hour. APC will come your way next. And on the show today, they're going to have your chance to win 4 tickets to the Thursday, August 25th. Game for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. That's the final, believe it or not, Thirsty Thursday coming up, presented by Z102.9. The Kegerator will be going that night with all the tips going to Cedar Rapids Animal Care and Control. Help all the sheltered animals out right there. Enjoy 12-ounce regular draft beers, 20-ounce bottle soda and water for just $2 all game long. And that game will get underway at 6:35. So listen in to us. Listen into the APC as well, right here on KGYM. They're back underway at the John Deere Classic, by the way. And our good friend of the show, John Bonenkamp, says to continue the crazy day, the clubhouse just had a fire alarm.
Quite a first day again. Zach Johnson tied for the lead at -5. He's out on the course right now playing his 13th hole. Number 4 on the front nine.
There you go. John Cranton joining us right now from Las Vegas, Jim Feist Sports, jimfeist.com, or jimfeist.com, at Jim Feist Sports is their Twitter handle. You can go and check it out. It's a good follow. We recommend that you do that as well. Do it today, as a matter of fact. John, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I really don't want to hear much about fires because I'm looking out right now in my office in the direction of Los Angeles. You can see a little haze on the skyline. It's been like that all week with those LA fires out there, but hey, the sky's blue. Other than that, the weather's nice, and with football starting tonight, things are getting so much better in the world.
Yeah, football is starting tonight. We'll talk about that in a minute, John, but the Olympics are underway, and Vegas is taking bets, I understand, for the first time in 16 years, but it doesn't seem to be going so well.
Well, yeah, and that's no surprise either. I mean, it did make some news around the internet that this was happening, but it's really not that big of a deal as it might sound, because when you look at the history of it, there isn't much wagering anyway on the Olympics in Las Vegas. There never was, even before this hiatus. And the reason it was halted was political, which happens, you know, often. You know, if you ask people about vices such as, you know, alcohol or gambling or something, then most people would say, either I don't care about the issue, or hey, if no one's getting hurt, you know, in this recreational, fine. And back in the 90s, there was the Arizona State betting scandal, and that made some major news, and there was some legislation pushed to stop it, and that's why Vegas stepped in and said, all right, we'll stop wagering on the Olympics. But times have changed, and things are a little bit different, and now it's back in, but it never has been big as far as gambling outside of the basketball is the most popular, which shouldn't surprise anybody. The NBA players participating in the basketball, but that's about it. But overall, it's not a big deal. But you know, the arrival of the preseason football, there'll be much more wagering and interest on it than the Olympics.
Is that kind of because of the fact that you have so many overwhelming favorites? I mean, are you going to really bet against Michael Phelps or a Ledecky in the pool or the U.S. women's gymnastics team? I mean, they're just such overwhelming favorites. You're not. It's not a value bet, as you have told us many times.
Correct. Yeah, and the thing that I've watched people wager on the Olympics is actually soccer, and there's a lot of people in Vegas from other parts of the world where soccer is king, and yes, I see people doing soccer parlays, and as you mentioned, they're huge favorites. You know, it's a -250 favorite parlayed with, you know, like some country from the Middle East that's a -500 favorite. They prefer to do that, but overall, it's generally less so. Plus, since it's every 4 years or so, you don't have the same kind of chemistry and rivalry and heated rivalries built up over the years as we see in other sports. So it's just so unusual, and even making betting lines on it can be challenging. It's just less interest overall than some of the other events.
John, we talked, told folks about our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, the Cubs-Cardinals series, the first of four tonight at Wrigley Field. It's going to be Martinez against Lester. The Cubs have a 12-game lead, John, and even if they take three out of four, I mean, it's not over now. It could be.
They are just so strong all the way around. It's just a very impressive team and a fun season that Chicago fans are always going to remember how dominant this team is. And the team they're playing tonight, if anybody can knock them off, Cubs on this 19-6 run as well as 12-1, this Cardinal team is very good all around. They're making a run here, having a difficult time of late, 4-7, but they did come up a win last night with the Reds. But when I look at the overall numbers, this Cardinal team could go on a hot streak here. Their offense is number 4 in baseball in runs scored and slugging. The pitching is number 11th. We're seeing one of their best arms going tonight against the Cubbies and Carlos Martinez. 10 wins on the year. Great strikeout pitcher. Does come off his worst loss of the season to the anemic Braves, 13-5. But overall, this kid has been strong all around. And on the road, he's been dominant. 6-1 record he is with a 2.28 ERA. In fact, the Cardinals are 19-7 when he starts on the road. So this is not an easy one here for the Cubs. And yet the betting line is pretty high here, -170 at open, now down to 160. So some people are taking a look at the Cardinals in this one. The Cubbies, though, boy, they have it all. Top 3 in runs scored, top 2 in pitching. They're going with John Lester tonight. Boy, wouldn't he look good in a Red Sox uniform? I would like to see that again. unfortunately, the Cubbies stole him, and we got stuck with David Price. But he's just having a great – look at Lester's ERA in Wrigley Field, a small park, 1.99 this season, 6-2 record. So it looks like some of the numbers say an even game here. I wouldn't be laying this price on the Cubs, but keep this in mind. When the Cubs face the Cardinals with John Lester starting 0-4, and when the Cardinals have Martinez going against the Cubs, they're 5-1. So recent history here would lean towards St. Louis. So I would take a small look at the dog in a defensive game, maybe 3-2.
Interesting. Another game tonight. Two teams have not gone very good as of late. That would be the Royals, the defending champions, and the Chicago White Sox. The Royals do have Danny Duffy going tonight, though, on the mound, who's had a terrific year, 8-1, ERA under 3, and Miguel Gonzalez, who's had absolutely no luck for the Chicago White Sox, saw him pitch against Minnesota about a week and a half ago, and should have got a win there. Only has two wins on the year, but a very competent ERA of about four. What do you think about that game tonight? It is going to be hot. The heat index is 107 at Kauffman Stadium right now.
Well, I was looking at this one as a defensive game, and when you mentioned the heat, that's even an extra advantage for a defensive game, is the hitters can slow down when it's hot like that. Yeah, you're right about Gonzalez. He doesn't have many wins on the year, but he has pitched better for a journeyman, but you know, they just don't provide him any offense. This is the problem all season for the White Sox, 26th in runs scored. Just haven't been able to break out of their offense. It's slunk, 8-9 record the last 17 games. And even worse on the road of 4-11. Gonzalez goes tonight. He's done all he can as far as pitching fairly well. Doesn't walk anybody. He's a veteran. He's got a 3.39 ERA on the road in 61 road innings, and yet he hasn't won a game on the road, so they just can't get him a lot of runs. One thing to keep in mind, when the White Sox play in division play here in the Central, they're just 10-22, so they have all kinds of trouble scoring and winning. This Kansas City team, they have never broken out of their funk either, which has been hard to believe for a defending champ. 6-12 run now the last 18 games. And like the White Sox, its offense is really the main problem. They're 27th in runs scored and slugging. Just haven't been able to get it going. They do have Duffy, as you mentioned. Boy, what a great one. The one guy on this team who's been so dominant. 8-1 record. The team is 8-0 his last eight starts. He's coming off a 16 strikeout game Monday over Tampa Bay. So he's doing his lot to keep this team getting on a hot streak at some point. And he's undefeated at home with a 4-0 record. He's also faced the White Sox quite a bit this year, 15 innings pitched. He has been great with only a 2.87 ERA. So it's tough to make a case here to back the White Sox. They're 17-36 when they face Kansas City, including 4-10 at Kansas City. So yeah, it's a big price here, -160 on Kansas City, but that's the only way to go. So I would look at a defensive game, maybe 3-1 or 3-2, but the Royals seem to hold all the cards with their ace and home field.
John, before we get to some of the NFL preseason games tonight, I wanted to ask you a question about last weekend's Hall of Fame game, the Packers and the Colts. I call it Paintgate. I would imagine all the money got returned.
Oh, it did, yeah. And it was so unusual to have something like that happen. Really embarrassing for the league, because it's the showcase game for the league to start and even for Vegas to say, you know, NFL's finally here. A lot of people in town get excited for that, not just to wager on that game, but to look ahead at the future bets and so forth. And it was just embarrassing to have them pull the plug on that. But, yeah, all the money is returned on that. Nobody loses, except the fans who went to the game.
Yeah, yeah, and they are they're not getting their monies back except for the game tickets. If you flew there or whatever, unfortunately, you're out of luck right there. Let's start with the NFL tonight. Panthers and the Ravens. Panthers, of course, coming off the Super Bowl. They take on a Baltimore team trying to bounce back. And probably won't see a lot of the starters deep into this game, or maybe even into the second quarter or anything like that. But what are your thoughts about this one?
You got that right. Usually with these preseason games, the odds makers, it's just so tough to evaluate because it's about who wants to play. And then what they do is generally look at home field and say, all right, we'll make it two or three on the home team. And yet in this game, Carolina is a one-point road favorite, an open pick 'em, and well, the action came in on Carolina. So Baltimore not getting a lot of respect, total here of 36.5. So what is going on? Well, it's actually difficult to make a case for Carolina here. They're defending NFC champs. What do they have to prove? Cam Newton, we hear, is going to start, but he's only going to play 1-2 series, which is common. And then beyond that, oh yeah, Derek Anderson is the backup. He's pretty good. Joe Webb has a little bit of time. But there's also some question marks with them. A lot of young players, three starters in the secondary for them, and they don't have anything to prove after coming off an NFC title. That's not really the case with the home team here. Baltimore Ravens, if you remember a year ago, we kind of thought they would be the AFC championship team. They were a very talented team, and yet, boy, they had a train wreck of 5-11 season. So it's kind of wiped the slate clean and kind of let's have a much better year this year. And the coach, John Harbaugh, he's been great in preseason his whole career, 20-12 straight up, 19-13 against the Vegas number. And what that shows you is there's several competent head coaches that know how to organize and discipline and motivate guys, even for August meaningless games. And that stands out with winning records and even spread marks. And he's one of them who's been exceptionally good. He also has a pretty good quarterback rotation. Joe Flacco's not going to play, but look at the depth behind him. Ryan Mallett, we've seen him start in the NFL. Josh Johnson, too, and Jared Johnson. So these guys are experienced. And it's not your normal untested quarterback rotation. So all in all, I don't really understand why Carolina is the favorite. I would lean toward a defensive game. I can't believe they're going to show a lot on offense, but I think Baltimore should be the favorite. I'll go with Baltimore 13-10, pick the home team in this one.
The Bears started a point-and-a-half favorite over Denver. Convince me of that, John.
John Fox's revenge.
that was one very good angle. Yeah, you're right. It opened one, and now it's down to pick them, so they're basically making it a toss-up game with a total of 35. Well, the good with Denver is, yeah, they come off this championship, and Coach Gary Kubiak, like John Harbaugh I just mentioned, he's been great in preseason, 21-14 straight up, 22-12-1 against the Vegas numbers. So he gets his guys to play in August. With that said, there's a lot more that I have concerns with Denver. First of all, they lost a lot of key talent from their championship team a year ago. Then you look at the quarterback rotation, all new, while losing two of their starting quarterbacks from a year. It's just unprecedented to have something like that happen. So you've got Mark Sanchez, Trevor Siemian, and rookie Paxton Lynch. Reports in practice is that these guys have been erratic, so nobody has nailed down this job yet. Mark Sanchez has 6 interceptions in camp. That's too many. So if he keeps doing that, which we've seen him do in his career, he's going to lose the job here to Siemian. So it's not a very impressive quarterback rotation. And then the question of what do they have to prove? They're on the road. They're defending champs. The coaching staff is secure in their jobs. And as I mentioned, they did lose some talent on both sides of the ball. One of them, Trevathan, the linebacker, went to Chicago, so he'll be with this team. There's more, as far as I can see, for Chicago to show up. First of all right, they won't be celebrating a Super Bowl championship, but who has the better quarterback rotation? The Bears have it by a mile. Jay Cutler and Brian Hoyer. Hoyer's been a pretty good starting quarterback in his career, and here he is in the backup role where he's also excelled. And then you got John Fox. He also has a winning record in preseason. In fact, the last 2 years, he's 6-2 straight up and against the Vegas number, so he gets his guys to play. And then there's the factor that you mentioned about having a chip on your shoulder. He was fired 2 years ago by Denver. That team went on to win the title. I have to wonder about him. And then you got a Chicago team that only won one game at home last year, 1-7. I wonder, is that in the back of their mind saying, boy, we kind of didn't play very well in front of our own fans. Defending champs are in town. Maybe we'll have a little extra edge for this, even though preseason game. Yeah, it's meaningless, but I don't agree with the money going in on Denver. I can see the Bears putting out a very solid all-around effort with the better quarterback rotation, and I can't say that for Denver, so I'll go with the Bears 17-13.
John Crant joining us here at 3:37 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. A couple more NFL games. Let's go to Saturday afternoon. Yeah, an afternoon game. Should be nice and toasty at Arrowhead Stadium as the Chiefs and the Seattle Seahawks will go at it. Temperatures expected to be in the mid-80s down there in Kansas City, and television can only be dictating this 3:30 or 2:30 starting time, I know, on Saturday.
Wow, and it can get sticky in the humid in Kansas City, I believe, this time of year.
Been known to do that.
Yeah, especially in this time of year. So here's Kansas City open 1.5-point favorite, now up to 3. We don't see a lot of line movement on these preseason games, but this is significant here. So people are taking a stand on Kansas City, and really it's largely about home field and quarterback rotation, because when I look at the stats that Seattle put up last year, this is the best team in football. They were number 4 in yards and points scored on offense, number 3 in rushing. Oh, and the defense was number 2 in yards and tops in points allowed again. Well, how did they lose 6 games? They're only 10-6. They lost some games they should have won, and then in the playoffs, the reverse happened. They should have got beat by the Vikings in that first game. Pulled out a miracle before they get crushed by Carolina, but it's a very talented team all around. With that said, this is preseason. It doesn't mean anything, and you've got a quarterback situation that, for Seattle, goes from one of the best in the game in Russell Wilson to a huge drop-off so quickly. Trevon Boykin will be the backup, and then Jake Heaps. And then you get the running backs that have been banged up for Seattle in camp. So I can't imagine them really getting fired up to play that well. And then you get the quarterback rotation, which is just not very good at all, certainly untested. Meanwhile, Kansas City, Andy Reid had the reputation in Vegas of not being a guy who cared about these preseason games, and he wasn't very good. And he would admit in many games, you know, I'm just interested in evaluation. And his record straight up and against the spread was not very good. And that was until last year. And there was some talk coming out of the Chiefs camp around this time last year that it was a different story. He felt he had a very good team, excellent depth, and he wanted to make a bit of a statement in preseason. And boy, did he ever. Ran the table 4-0 straight up and against the spread last preseason. And here he's got a very strong team all around, again, a playoff team. And look at the quarterback rotation. Alex Smith we know about, but he just picked up Nick Foles. Very interesting here because Foles, when Foles had his incredible season with 27 touchdowns, two interceptions, people might not remember that was with Andy Reid with the Eagles before Reid left town. So I can see what Foles is doing. He's saying, you know, I've been a marginal quarterback the last couple of years. I'm going back to the guy who really helped me produce some exceptional numbers. And then you got him and Tyler Bray and Kevin Hogan and Aaron Murray. In fact, the Chiefs are the only team with five quarterbacks, so they've got some evaluating to do, and that's what he talked about. But Andy Reid, he's got he's terrific at motivating guys and organizing, and these teams met in the preseason 1 year ago here in week two, and it was a defensive slugfest game, 14-13. The Chiefs won it. That's the way I kind of look at this game. You mentioned it's going to be a humid, hot game. I can't imagine that's going to allow for an offensive show. And we get two teams that love to run the football on offense. They love to play rough, physical defense in the trenches and are loaded with talent, better talent on the defensive side of the ball. I would look for a similar type of game, a low-scoring game. So I'll go with Kansas City 16-13 in more of a defensive battle.
Chiefs' main rival, the Oakland Raiders, are at Arizona Friday night. John, I really kind of like the Oakland Raiders to have a pretty good season, but this is a pretty good measuring stick out of the chute.
Yeah, and here's another game where we have a big betting number here. Arizona, 3-point favorite, and yet almost 70% of the bets have been on Oakland. And a lot of people are like you. They look at this young and up-and-coming Oakland team and saying, hey, they got some talent. They could be make a statement here. Well, here's a game where what's interesting is the quarterback rotation for this young up-and-coming Raiders team is pretty good. Derek Carr, but then Matt McGloin, he's seen a lot of time. And then there's the rookie Connor Cook out of the Big Ten who struggled early in camp, but the reports the last week, he's really come on strong. So he's got to keep an eye on. He played pretty well in camp. Jack Del Rio is another one of these coaches who is an emotional, fiery guy like a Pete Carroll that also translates into pretty good play in August football. He's got a winning record, both straight up and against the Vegas number in preseason. With that said, his first year in Oakland last year, that wasn't the case, 1-3, but historically he's been very good. And then you got a Cardinal team that had some dominant all-around numbers last year. They were tops in the NFL in yards, second in points. This was a great all-around team. They didn't have a very good ending, but they were very strong. My question for this is, you know, what is Arizona going to show in preseason? You just locked up Carson Palmer, who's 36 years old, to a contract extension. History of injuries, why would you want to risk him playing a lot and getting injured in this game? So beyond him, well, you got Drew Stanton, Matt Barkley, the rookie Jake Coker, not a very impressive Arizona experienced quarterback rotation. So all in all, wow, this 3-point favorite on Arizona, that seems to be a little bit too much. I agree with most of the general public looking at the underdog in this one. I think this could be probably a high-scoring game indoors, like last year's 30-23 preseason meeting. But I would like you, I would lean toward Oakland Raiders, keeping this close and maybe even winning the game.
John, you're talking a lot about these preseason games and whatnot. People do put a lot of money down in Vegas on these preseason games, as all football games. What are some of the tips as far as preseason games are concerned?
Oh, sure. You have to be very careful. Don't wager more than you would during the regular season simply because, you know, like week four, for example, the coaches basically admit, we don't care about this game. We just want to stay healthy. But if you're looking for things, the main thing that really stands out is coaches, because there aren't many good coaches in college and pro football. And to have that talent to be a really good coach, you need to be an organizer. You need to motivate. You need to be a teacher. People forget that. It's very much about teaching in all sports, not just football, about getting guys to understand their roles. And when you look at some of the coaches historically, how they go in preseason, it kind of stands out. Yeah, Belichick has a winning record, both straight up and against the spread. So does Pete Carroll, an exceptional record, actually. 24-14 against the Vegas number. Pete Carroll does. He's not only emotional and gets these guys to play in August, but he's an exceptional coach, too. And then to flip that around for a moment, Jason Garrett, we all have differing opinions on him as a head coach. However, he's a guy who often admits that he doesn't care that much about these preseason games. He's more interested in keeping guys healthy, and it shows in the way they play. He doesn't play his starters a lot, and it's not surprising that he has a 6-15 spread mark as well as a losing regular season record. So that's the main thing that I look at. And then the other thing would be a home field is actually overrated for the most part, particularly in week four. So those are things to keep an eye on as you're looking at these August games. Can be a little bit different than the regular season.
As you know, John, some NFL organizations have a short leash. Are there coaches on the hot seat already at this time?
Oh, yeah, and even for August football to watch, it's going to be a lot of fun. The one that I'm going to be watching would be the Buffalo Bills. I mean, the Ryan brothers are together now, which that's fun for these press conferences, but they have a lot to prove. Rob Ryan just had horrible defenses when he was with the Cowboys. Then went on to the Saints, and they both got rid of him. Now he's going to Buffalo. This guy talks more than his defenses have been producing of late. So he has a lot to prove. And then his brother, Rex. Remember last year, he inherited a very talented Buffalo defense, and he made them worse. They regressed significantly, particularly in the sacks margin, and it was really an eye-opener. A lot of people surprised how bad they took a step back last year. And even people like Jim Kelly and some of the players have been hinting, yeah, you know, we need to produce. Jim Kelly mentioned that, hinted that Ryan could be fired if they fall short of the playoffs. So when you have that kind of pressure on coaches like this, it's not just regular season they have to win, but it can come up in preseason games, particularly when they're at home, which I believe they are in this week one, so that's going to be one. And the other one would be the Rams, Jeff Fisher. I mean, he's a guy who, he's had four straight losing seasons. He still has his job, which is unusual for a team to have this many losing seasons. And if you know they're on Hard Knocks, the HBO series, there was a clip this last week where he was chewing the team out. He was saying, look, we've got more talent to be a 7-9 team like the last couple of years. I've had enough of it. You can see the heat's on him now. Part of that was, you know, working for the cameras. But this is a guy who has to have a winning season, especially with all the talent they have, moving up in the draft to take a top quarterback. So there's two guys that I think might push their teams to be better in August than they normally would.
Sounds good. Well, you've got a free play that deals with football. Talk about that. Talk about Jim Fife Sports and what's going on.
Yeah, I will go with the home team there, the Chicago Bears tonight. John Fox, I think he might have a chip on his shoulder and stick it to his old team. They should not be an underdog in this one. And that doesn't come just from me. Jim Feist is on that play as well. If you're looking for preseason reviews in both college and pro football, you can go to jimfeist.com as well as Jim's plays and some of the top handicappers in the nation. All that at jimfeist.com.
All right. Have a great first weekend of the NFL preseason, John.
Sounds good, guys. Enjoy the games. Take care.
You bet. John Cran from Jim Fife Sports in Las Vegas joining us on Thursdays right here on KGYM. 3:47, when we come back, we'll update you on the John Deere Classic, Zach Johnson, how he's doing, and a couple tidbits of news to get to. Plus, we'll talk about our friend Jerry Palm's crystal ball into the 2016 college football year. All that when we return.
QL1, you've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it?
It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient.
Hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason.
Oh, hold on. I wasn't finished. You can share your pay stubs and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates. And
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
There are two kinds of hot. One is where a walk to the mailbox leaves you thirsty. But with MetroPCS, you get the other kind of hot, the good kind. Because now, when you switch to MetroPCS, you get a free Samsung Galaxy. That's a really hot deal. Visit a MetroPCS store to get your free Samsung Galaxy On 5 with a big 5-inch HD screen. And get on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included. Not valid for numbers currently on the T-Mobile network. See store for details, terms and conditions, and data management info.
Hear that? Of course not, because a dead car battery doesn't make a sound. You know who does make sound? Your daughter. And if you miss her big game, she'll make plenty of angry, high-pitched sounds. Better head to your neighborhood Advance Auto Parts. We offer free battery testing, a 3-year replacement warranty on our platinum batteries, and free installation from one of our parts pros. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. Most vehicles, most locations. See store for details.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit geico.com today.
Hey, pro football fanatics. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network will be back in action this season on Mediacom. With NFL Red Zone, you'll see every touchdown from every game every Sunday afternoon. You'll also see game highlights shortly after they happen, so you'll never miss an amazing play. Plus, when any team gets inside the 20-yard line, NFL Red Zone cuts to the action live. And if you're into fantasy football, NFL Red Zone gives you up-to-the-minute fantasy stats, extended highlights, in-depth coverage, and more. Sound good? Mediacom makes it even better. Just ask how you can get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network for the entire 2016 season for just $5. Call Mediacom at 800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 800-SIMPLIFY.
Mediacom Prime TV with sports tier and NFL Network required. Not available in all areas.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes, KGYM.
All right, thanks to John Krant for joining us today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk Iowa State football on the program. Paul Clark of CycloneReport.com will be joining us. Iowa State went through media day earlier on this week as they get ready for their season opener against the Northern Iowa Panthers. We'll have it for you coming up on Saturday night, September the 3rd. I believe that's a 4:30 pregame with a 6:30 kickoff out at Jack Trice Stadium. And Ames, you and I, comes in number 5 in the preseason poll for FCS football. And, of course, Iowa State starting the Matt Campbell era coming up on September the 3rd. Zach's back playing golf. They're all back playing golf at TPC Deer Run.
Yep, familiar name on top of the leaderboard at the John Deere Classic in Silvis, Illinois. Zach Johnson in a 3-way tied for the lead right now with Patrick Rogers and Ryan Moore, all three out on the course, completing their first round. Zach on the 6th hole, his 15th of the day, all three players at 5-under par. Zach has not made a bogey as of yet. Stephen Iam, former Iowa golfer, he is at +4 through 10 holes. Brian Bullington, another former Hawkeye, will not begin his first round until 5:50 due to the weather delay earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, so he's only going to get a few holes in. They had some water issues out there, and they had to do a lot of moving of H2O off that golf course and in order to get it playable again out there. Told you we got a couple of tidbits of news that have just come down, one of them involving the Iowa football team, and Iowa has picked up a verbal commitment for the class of 2017. And this is from a state of Florida player, a defensive back out of Delray Beach, Florida, Josh Turner, one of the top D-backs out of the state of Florida, has announced via Twitter his commitment to play for the University of Iowa in Kirk Ferentz. He is the 16th member of the class of 2017, breaking them down. You got 5 from Iowa, 5 from Texas, and 3 from Illinois, Kansas, Florida, and Mississippi, all with 1. He's the first Floridian. And Iowa's last 5 recruits, this is from Rob Howe, who we're going to have on a week from Friday, by the way, coming up with Hawk Nation, does a good job with that publication. And Rob says the last 5 recruits Iowa signed for 2017 or verbaled for 2017 have been all defensive backs, interestingly enough.
Iowa putting together a pretty darn good class in 2017. A couple 4-stars, maybe more. I don't know. I don't know how you assign the stars and all that. But It just seems like this is a very diverse group. You mentioned the defensive backs. Florida player now, Texas players, Iowa players. It's an interesting class.
It is. The other piece of news comes from the world of baseball. And the Chicago Cubs, they are announcing that Pedro Strop is suffering a torn meniscus. That at least on Twitter anyway. And not sure exactly what his future is.
Reports out possibly 4 to 6 weeks.
And they do have some depth now in the bullpen. Obviously, with the two pickups that they have
put
together.
Yeah, with Montgomery and Aroldis Chapman, for sure.
So it's not quite as big a loss as it would have been earlier on, but still, Strop was at least getting innings in the sixth and the seventh lately for the Chicago Cubs.
If you're Iowa, which team do you not want to play in a bowl game this year?
Well, I think one of them is front and center as far as Jerry Palm is concerned. There's good news and bad news, and you don't know what's going to happen. Everyone thought Iowa Stanford, that was a great matchup for the Hawkeyes. Turned out to be kind of a nightmare matchup for the Iowa football team. But our friend Jerry Palm, who works for CBSSports.com, has come up with his preseason, now keep this in mind, preseason bowl projections. And his projection for the national semifinals, at least the Final Four anyway. Good news is for Iowa fans, he has Iowa in the New Year's Six games. Does not have them in the playoff, but he has them going to the Cotton Bowl. Oh, New Year's in Jerry World. Mm. How much fun could that be? But he has Iowa prognosticated to take on the high-flying Houston Cougars in the Cotton Bowl, which would be a very interesting matchup.
It would be. I don't think it moves the needle much nationally. I don't know that I like the matchup a whole lot. Houston,
although Iowa's got a good D-backs.
They do, no question about it. Houston, the unanimous favorite to win its league. And, of course, that's different competition, but Houston's still a very good program. So my suggestion, file this away, see how close Jerry was at the end of the year.
Probably as close as we come.
Yeah.
During the year. And, we'll see. We'll see. No Iowa State Bowl, according to Jerry, right now, as he has all of them projected. And I didn't even take a look and see if there are new bowl games this year. I'm sure there are. There are always a few new bowl games that pop up to catch the eye. So a little fodder there from CBSSports.com. Thank you to Jerry Palm.
The national championship matchup?
I know the semifinals that he has picked. He has no Pac-12 team or Big Ten team.
It's got Oklahoma, Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl in one semifinal, and Clemson, Alabama in the Peach Bowl, the other semifinal.
Do you agree with that? I can see that.
Notre Dame, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I think they're the ones that would not make it. He's got them as a number 4 seed going into it. But Notre Dame, if they come up with a 10-2 season, there's a good chance Notre Dame might make that Final Four.
40 bowls this year, 80 teams go to the postseason. Jeez.
Did you ever think when you were in the heyday of covering on the road Iowa or Iowa State as a beat writer that we'd ever see 40 bowl games?
No, I mean, I didn't really think about it, I guess, but to think, man, 3/4 of the teams in the country go to a bowl game, it's absurd.
That is absurd. Not absurd are Todd and Tyler, and they're coming up next with the APC. Go ahead and vote in our poll question, KGYMradio.com, for Cubs and the Cardinals. Who do you think is going to win the series over the weekend? Cubs, Cardinals, or a split? Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com. Paul Clark, CycloneReport.com, will join us coming up tomorrow.
Look forward to it. We'll keep you updated on the John Deere Classic, Olympic golf, and much more tomorrow.
Yep, and we'll talk to you then at 3 o'clock.
Magic happens at the John Deere Classic. Whether it's Steve Stricker's historic three-peat, Zach Johnson's playoff heroics, or Jordan Spieth's dramatic